She handed me my coffee without asking how I take it. That was the first thing I noticed. Not because it was unusual, because it wasn't. Cream, no sugar, same mug as always. World's greatest dad, with a blue stripe near the handle. She set it beside my laptop while still half reading something on her phone, kissed the top of my head absentmindedly, then disappeared back into the kitchen like she trusted I'd still be sitting there when she came back. That kind of trust used to feel comforting. Lately, it scared me. I took a sip before it got cold. I watched steam curl slowly off the surface of the coffee while emails piled up unopened on the screen in front of me. From the kitchen, I could hear cabinets opening and closing, silverware shifting, normal sounds, small sounds, the kind nobody notices while they're happening. A message buzzed on my phone. One of my sons sending some stupid video I was apparently supposed to understand. I sent back a laughing face emoji. 2 seconds later,
"Glad you're alive, old man."
I stared at that text longer than I should have. Not because of what he meant. Because my brain immediately showed me the version where someday he'd scroll back far enough to find it again. Like it had already happened. Like the thought had already rehearsed itself. I locked the phone and pressed it face down against the table. From the kitchen,
"You want toast with your eggs?"
Such a small question. But suddenly all I could think about was her asking herself questions alone someday instead. Would she leave my side of the closet untouched for a while? Would she still buy too much food at the grocery store out of habit? I stood up too quickly and the chair legs scraped hard against the floor.
"You okay?"
Too fast. Too casual. The kind of question you ask, you already know they're lying. "Yeah. Just tired." There was a pause after I said it. Barely a second. But long enough for me to wonder if she heard something underneath it. The rest of the day kept moving around me normally after that. That was the frightening part. Nobody else could hear what my head was turning everything into. Her laughing softly at something on television. My son texting another stupid video into the family group chat. Plans for dinner Sunday. Every ordinary moment splitting in two inside my head. The moment itself, and the version where it only existed afterward. Later that night, after she'd gone upstairs, I sat alone in the dark living room with my phone in my hand. The television was still on low. Some home renovation show I wasn't really watching. Rain tapped softly against the windows over the sink. I opened my photos without really deciding to. Her asleep on my shoulder during a flight. My son's standing in the driveway leaning against a car talking. Christmas morning wrapping paper everywhere. A blurry picture of my mom laughing at something I can't even remember now. I kept scrolling, further back, like I was already looking through evidence that all of this had happened. But another thought was already moving underneath everything else now. My mother hearing the news. My sons trying to sound strong on the phone for their mom. My sister. My uncle. My friends. People lowering their voices when they said my name. My chest tightened hard enough that I finally locked the screen, then unlocked it. Locked again. Unlocked. That whisper came back then. Soft. Patient. Like mercy pretending to be reason. "You're tired. No one will blame you." Maybe everybody would heal cleaner without having to keep carrying pieces of me through their lives. I leaned forward and pressed both hands against my eyes until colors flashed behind them. The whole house had gone quiet. Then from down the hallway, half asleep,
"You coming to bed?"
And suddenly I could hear it. Not silence. The silence it would make.
"I built this house on gasoline. Lit the match and cursed the flame. Now the smoke is in my lungs, and there's no one else to blame. There's a whisper dressed as mercy, breathing soft into my ear, saying you don't have to carry all this failure year by year. But I know who'd see that screen light up at 2 a.m. with my name. And I couldn't trade my silence for the silence it would make. Cause I know who'd answer first before the second ring. I know whose voice would break in two trying to say anything. Every why I'd leave behind would never let them sleep. I won't plant that kind of forever. And the ones I love that deep, I don't get to fade like that. Trade my breathing for the silence it would make.
Silence it would make.
Your coat still hangs beside mine. Our pictures crowd the walls. You'd be setting one place less at dinners in the fall. They try to make it noble, say I fought some unseen war. But the truth would sit between you and the empty chair once more. You'd tell them what you think you know, but you know the truth too well. The war was just avoidance of the mess I made myself. And love is not a rescue, it's the staying when it burns. It's choosing not to disappear. Just because it hurts, I don't get to fade like that. Answered back, this is not redemption, this is not applause, this is just a promise to outlive my flaws. I don't get to fade like that. Just sleep, stay, breathe, fix what you can reach, rest when it's complete.